NAMIC members can now receive a 15% discount on new customer subscriptions to NASDAQ Board Portal. NASDAQ Board Vantage is a powerful corporate communication platform and online solution that helps companies run their board meetings, organize, share materials with directors, and document board activities in a secure online environment. More than half of Fortune 100 companies trust NASDAQ Board Vantage, a NAMIC National Market member, to provide streamlined corporate governance services. To learn what the online portal will allow your company to do, visit www.namic.org/products/boardvantage.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to an all-new episode of Insurance Uncovered. This podcast is produced by the National Association of Mutual Insurance Companies and is your source for insurance news and perspective from thought leaders in the property casualty insurance industry. I'm your host, Kathy Imus. Today we're uncovering a tornado outbreak in the Midwest, President Biden's pledge to help communities rebuild, plus Distracted Driving Awareness Month. Advocates for highway and auto safety call on our nation's leaders to take action to end the deadly distraction. But first, more storms underway this week as communities are still picking up from a weekend tornado outbreak across the South and Midwest that killed at least 32 people and devastated neighborhoods in 10 states. 50 tornadoes were recorded by the National Weather Service last weekend. The biggest tornado, an EF3, touched down in Little Rock, Arkansas, where 5 deaths were reported along with catastrophic damage to homes, businesses, and schools. More than 750,000 customers were without power at one point. No estimate yet on the amount of insured losses. Following the storms, President Joe Biden visited the flattened community of Rolling Fork, Mississippi, where a deadly tornado had touched down. He committed to help with immediate needs and long-term rebuilding.
I know there's a lot of pain, and that it's hard to believe in a moment like this, this community is going to be rebuilt and built back better than it was before. Resilience of this community has been remarkable, and I just want you to know, as you fight through this, you're not alone.
Meanwhile, the New York Times reports that tornadoes seem to be occurring in greater clusters, and the region formerly known as Tornado Alley in the Great Plains appears to be shifting eastward. Yet the Times report also says the overall number of tornadoes annually is holding steady at around 1,200. It was a watershed moment in Florida as the legislature passed massive tort reform legislation and Governor Ron DeSantis signed that measure into law. For years, Florida's legal environment has encouraged opportunists to take advantage of residents and small businesses at the expense of the state's economy. This abuse has added to the challenges of providing insurance coverage in the state. The new law will help reduce the proliferation of costly abusive lawsuits that have victimized so many in recent years. It will bring fairness, balance, and economic stability to the state, critical to the long-term goal of achieving a healthy and competitive insurance marketplace. This crucial tort reform package contains provisions covering 7 major areas of tort reform. They include third-party bad faith, comparative negligence, fee multipliers, one-way attorney's fees, statutes of limitation, transparency in damages, and premises liability. Some good news out of the Pacific Northwest, where a bill in Oregon to prohibit insurers' use of risk-based pricing is dead for the session. The legislation would have made Oregon one of the most restrictive states in the nation for risk-based pricing by expressly prohibiting insurers from considering the applicant's credit history, sex or gender, marital status, not-at-fault accidents, education, occupation, and employment status. Every day in April, approximately 115 people will be killed and many more injured in motor vehicle crashes in which distraction will be cited as a contributing factor. It's a staggering statistic that reinforces the need for Distracted Driving Awareness Month. On today's Unscripted, NAMIC CEO Neil Aldridge talks with Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety President Kathy Chase about ways our nation's leaders can take action to end distracted driving.
We're joined today by Kathy Chase, president of the Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety. The group is an alliance of consumer, medical, public health, law enforcement, safety groups, and the insurance industry, all working together to improve road safety in the United States. April is Distracted Driving Awareness Month. It's a plague in this country and something we need to do more about. And so we thought it'd be good to have Kathy join the podcast today. So thanks for joining us today, Kathy.
Neil, thanks so much for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about the Advocates for Highway Safety first before we move into the substance here. NAMIC is a member on the board, longtime supporter of the group. Tell us a little bit about what the Advocates of Highway Safety folks do, what your mission is, et cetera.
Sure. And we are so grateful for NAMIC's longtime participation and membership on our board of directors. As you mentioned, Neil, we have a board of directors that is comprised of some of the leading property casualty insurance companies and some of the leading public health and safety groups that you mentioned, such as the Emergency Nurses or the American Public Health Association, International Association of Chiefs of Police, just to name a few. And we work on the state and federal levels to advance highway and auto safety laws to make the road safer, to make vehicles safer, and to make all road users safer. So that's kind of who we are in a nutshell.
That's great. And I once upon a time served on the board of the Advocates in a previous role, so I'm very familiar with the group. I wish we didn't have to have you. I mean that in the best possible way, but let's talk about road safety, right? So a lot going on in this space. Insurers certainly understand how dangerous the roadways are. I do think there's a disconnect in America. I think people think cars have never been safer. And in some cases, they certainly are safer, but the roadways have maybe never been more dangerous. It's a strange combination of factors. 6 million crashes in the U.S. alone, entirely too much loss of life. So just kind of describe what you all see of this, of the roadway safety problems, and then we can talk a little bit about solutions a little later.
Okay. Yeah, you're totally right. Well, first of all, we do exist to put ourselves out of business. We haven't been successful yet, but every day we work on it. And you're right. There is a major disconnect where new vehicles are safer vehicles, and yet our roads are incredibly perilous. On average, over 115 people are killed on our roads every day, and thousands more are injured. So that's a lot of loss of devastation happening on our roads. You know, in total, in 2021, nearly 43,000 people were killed in motor vehicle crashes. And that's a 32% increase in just a decade, which is really, talks about what a major public health crisis we're experiencing on our roads. I just want to mention that part of that is an increase in pedestrians and bicyclists, who we refer to as vulnerable road users. Those are spiking. Pedestrian fatalities increased 13% and bicyclist deaths were up 5%. So there's a lot of devastation happening. And, as a mother with a teenager, I have to share that it's terrifying and heartbreaking that motor vehicle crashes are the leading cause of death for teenagers. You know, these are kids that don't make it home to their parents. So there's the good news, Neil, is that we have solutions to all of these. The leading factors are speeding, impairment, not wearing your seatbelt, and distraction. So these have been around forever. These were, I'm sure, the same factors when you were on the Advocates board, Neil.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So the same things are happening, but we do have some new solutions. And like you mentioned, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, it's sort of you describe it as a public health crisis, and I think that's the right way to characterize it. And we've talked about this with others, but I don't think that there's this in the general consuming public. I think everybody thinks that everybody wears a seatbelt, everybody has airbags, but everybody's also driving 85 miles an hour. And there's a lot more people on the roads, whether they're bicyclists or commercial traffic or whatever the case might be. And all of that has led to this situation of dangerous conditions. And then you throw in, the fact that the level of distraction just seems to be, at a never-ending course of going up. And I just don't think there's an awareness of the public of those factors. But so let's talk a little bit about solutions here. We work with you all to promote state legislative policy changes, federal policy changes to try to address some of these issues. Let's look a little bit about the state side. There's always auto safety issues, road safety issues on the state legislative agendas for both organizations. What do you see as some of the primary changes we could pursue? Any highlights yet this year of states that have done some things that we think are good changes for the positive here?
Yeah, absolutely. There's been some positive changes. I just want to comment on your, you know, everybody thinks everybody buckles up. Well, about half of fatalities are because people aren't, are people who haven't buckled up. And that's a really alarming statistic. So if there's one thing we can make a plug for, everybody who's listening, I'm sure buckles up, but make sure that everyone in the vehicle, you know, people have gotten more used to transportation networking companies like Uber or Lyft, or, and you get in the back seat and for some reason people don't think you have to buckle up, and you know, everyone should buckle up on every ride. So that's my little public service announcement.
Yeah, I was in an Uber yesterday and wore my seatbelt in the back seat. So
excellent. I knew you would, Neil.
Yeah. Although I'm probably like you, I'm one of those people that's a behavior changer. Yeah, I didn't grow up, you know, I'm a Gen Xer. I didn't grow up wearing a seatbelt. You probably didn't either. But everybody, you know, it changes. It is a simple thing to change. It is hard to believe that there's still that many people that don't, but.
Yeah. So we're working on that. We're working to advance. You know, you asked about some state laws. One of them is, you know, a primary enforcement seatbelt law for all occupants. Yeah. Only 20 states and DC have this, which is kind of shocking. And it's because most states don't have the rear seat requirement. So that's an ongoing effort of ours. Some other efforts that were successful in recently were child passenger safety upgrades in Hawaii and Maryland, automated enforcement program expansion or allowance in four states. That happened last year. We also have to be on defense where we're protecting current laws, like protecting the use of automated enforcement or protecting all rider motorcycle helmet laws. So we're playing offense and defense in the states. And I have to say, these are all really hard fought and hard won battles. There are opponents who just, you know, are anti-government or libertarian and want and say, you know, don't tell me what to do in my car. But the problem is that all taxpayers pay the consequences if people don't do the right thing, if they don't buckle up, if they speed, if they drive while impaired. And it comes down to really more healthcare costs and a price tag for everyone on the roads.
Yeah, no doubt. Insurers see it, you know, every day, not just in terms of the cost of putting the expensive cars back together again, but the cost of the medical side of things. And then, of course, the really tragic loss of life issues that we see. So we talked a little bit about some state laws. I know that there's also a federal, you know, regulatory component of all of this with NHTSA and the highway safety. Really, that's more get aired probably, generally speaking, at the commercial side of things. I don't know if there's anything there you want to highlight or not.
Yeah, definitely want to talk about what some requirements are in the recently passed Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, which is also referred to as either the transportation law or the infrastructure law. Definitely the Biden administration touts this is one of their major accomplishments, you know, during their tenure. And we fought really hard, and not just advocates, NAMIC and all of our partners fought really hard to get some advances in that law. And they require, as you mentioned, NHTSA to issue some rules, such as requiring automatic emergency braking in new cars. And this is technologies. I'm sure some of the listeners have it in their cars, where if someone is distracted or impaired and for whatever reason doesn't brake when there's an imminent crash about to happen, there'll be an alert. And then there'll be, if the driver doesn't respond, then the car will actually brake. This is in some of the higher end vehicles or is being sold in luxury packages, but we are pushing it to be in all new vehicles and to make sure that if they respond to pedestrians and bicyclists in all lighting conditions. Seems pretty basic, but you know, we've been saying is every family deserves the safest braking system. So that's one of our big pushes. We also are pushing for impaired driving detection technology, for technology that can prevent children from perishing in hot cars, and a number of other, technological improvements that are proven lifesavers and that are on the market in some cases already.
Yeah, that's important work there for certain. And so that gets us into this next little topic a little bit, which is, you mentioned some of the new technology, that's available. We talked about, you mentioned the braking system or the hot car issue with children. Are there other technology sort of safety factors that could be at play here?
Yes, definitely there are. I just want to mention that, NHTSA determined that between 1960 and 2012, over 600,000 lives were saved by motor vehicle safety technologies required by federal standards, such as airbags, which you mentioned earlier, and now airbags have come a long way for certain, seatbelts and rollover prevention systems. So now it's time for what I kind of refer to as like next gen technology. As I mentioned, the advanced driver assistance systems. And in addition to AEB, there's also lane departure warning, blind spot detection, and other, safety systems in cars that can protect all road users. I'll just toss out there, when we're talking about technology, a topic that I talk about probably every day of my career, but yet I don't think I will experience it during my lifetime, is mass deployment of autonomous vehicles, also known as driverless cars. And I just want to say that, some cars are on the market now and people think that they're driverless cars, and they are not. There are no driverless cars that are being sold right now. So a plug for everyone, if they have advanced technologies in their vehicles, they still must be alert, aware, and responsive drivers.
Yeah, the autonomous vehicle question is always around this discussion of safety. The theory being that if you remove the humans, maybe you make them all safer, which I think theoretically maybe we can all agree with. It's the practicality of how this is going to be applied, which kind of gets us to the infrastructure discussion. A little bit about, are there infrastructure changes that we could look at specifically? We don't necessarily always think about the actual roads we're driving on, other than perhaps complaining about the number of holes in them. But are there things about infrastructure that we could point to that might result in more safety changes?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I think that's a really good segue when you're talking about autonomous vehicles and then leading into the infrastructure, because the autonomous vehicles, if they're ever achieved on a broad basis, if there is a pothole, like you mentioned, what's going to happen to the autonomous vehicle? Will it pull over? I mean, these are going to be very expensive. And if there's not a driver in there, I think there are just a lot of unknown questions that have not been answered. So we're really trying to be very thoughtful in our approach to autonomous vehicles. And I just want to mention that if anyone's interested in more information about our approach to that, we have a document called the AV Tenets, which is on our website, which is saferoads.org. And we have about 60 or so organizations that have signed on in support of this common sense, people first approach to autonomous vehicles. But now let me get to your question about the infrastructure, because there's a lot that can be done to improve the infrastructure. And again, the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act provided a great deal of funding for infrastructure safety improvements. For example, road diets, which is might not be super popular, but has been proven to be pretty effective. This means when roads are narrower, drivers are less likely to speed and be distracted because, frankly, there's less room for error. Another one is speed curbing measures like roundabouts and speed humps, which not only reduce speed, but they also, again, require the driver's attention to navigate. Rumble strips are another one. They alert the driver if you've drifted out of the lane. And then other roadway safety upgrades like accessible sidewalks, protected bike lanes, intersection curb extensions. So there are a lot of options out there that will address, and they're important because they'll address all highway safety issues, whether it be distraction, speed, impairment. So it's a really critical improvement that needs to be made throughout the country.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much of that we can make progress on. some reason or another, the ancient Romans could build roads that lasted centuries, and we can't build them to last, you know, months, it seems, at times. But hopefully we can reclaim some of that technology and make the roadways, just improve them in terms of their construction. That would be a big help to us. So the insurance industry obviously is a big supporter of this effort. Are there things the industry can do more of? Are there things that the ways that advocates in the industry could improve on, or things that we can do better to work together on?
Always. And let me just say that, again, we're incredibly grateful for the longstanding support of the industry, including NAMIC, one of our longtime board members. But there are some insurance companies that aren't on our board. Yeah. So we're always looking for new friends, new voices, and new perspectives. So if anyone who's listening is working with a company not on our board, come give us a try. Spend some time with us. I think you'll be pleased with the advances that we've been making over the years. And Neil, you can chat with them too. You have firsthand experience.
Yeah, I'm happy to. And again, we're very supportive of your efforts. And this is, you know, an issue that affects, you know, all of us as people, but certainly us in the insurance industry in real ways, and something that I think is a real priority for the industry. But there's no doubt others could get involved. And any of you listening that do have an interest, I'm happy to talk about the work Advocates does, or to send you to Kathy and team and learn more about the important work here. Well, listen, Kathy, thank you for joining us today and spending a few minutes talking about these issues. Maybe someday, you know, we could have you on and talk about your hobbies or something like that. We've got the road safety issues all fixed, but we'll have you on again, I'm sure, in the near future.
Neil, thank you so much. It was really nice talking with you.
And that's all for this week's episode of Insurance Uncovered. We'll be back on April 19th with more insurance news and perspective. Until then, I'm Kathy Imus. Have a great day.